세트. 와.
왜 shall we? You may be seated. Eighth day now, and we're still here. Beautiful. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today's dinner, it's almost all organic. And of course, we need to learn about that organic and make sure it's the right thing. Organic, you know, if you see their definition, which is a false definition, it's something to throw you off from the schools of higher learning to keep you from learning about Yahweh, of course. That's what it is, and it's they'll say all natural. Well, all natural could be coming from the dump ground, you know, but it's actually created organs, you know, made up of created organs. They say natural organs, but it's actually made up of created organs that Yahweh himself created. And when you see a plant grow up out of the ground, it's taking in those created organs that Yahweh created himself. And of course, from each seed comes a certain plant, and it takes a certain shape and puts out certain elements for your body that you can use. And now that's what it should be. And when we teach this to our children, try to get away from the word natural, because it means nothing. It's one of the words that just wants to take you away from Yahweh and learning that Yahweh was the creator, like he created the so-called atmosphere. Call it firmament, or go back even further to the Hebrew word. They say the air, you know. I talked about this yesterday. They say the air is made up of gases. Well, I guess you could classify that as a gas. You know, gas is it has no forms. It doesn't have an individual body. It's like the gassy gods. Maybe that's what we're smelling right now. I don't know, but it's what's got the atmosphere all mixed up, and that they call it the atmosphere, the firmament. And of course, from that destruction that they've made, that they're causing to the firmament, not by burning wood or coal. That's been going on for thousands of years. It's never hurt a thing. It's STDs that's in the firmament that's attacking the organs in the firmament, the microorganisms. And science always, they use words of escape when they don't know something like that, and that's the reason they use the word gas. And you could classify billions of different kinds of organs as gas because it can't be seen. That is, we don't have the instruments right now to detect it. But those organs are alive, all of them. And what you're breathing, when you breathe in and out, you're breathing live organs in your body. And the only reason that water doesn't blow up when you stick a match to it is because it's alive and it's married to one another. And Yahweh, in this manner, it won't burn. But you can put it in a torch. I told you that yesterday. H2O, the same thing that you drink. You can put those two in a torch, and you harness them, and you strike a match to it, and you can build a hot flame with it. But the way Yahweh made it, alive and well and hungry and eating, well, those organs, you're breathing them in and out. They're the same organs that grow the plants. The land is filled with them. And when your body dies, it will turn back, and those organs will start separating from one another. When the body stops breathing, stops bringing in and pumping the blood through it, then the organs that are there, they start separating from that unit, and they go back into the earth. to live. and of course, to feed other things. But the fluids, the air, it's they say it's a gas. It's they are individual shaped. They have no individual shape, nor form, nor volume. But they keep increasing, expanding. That's what they call gas. They keep growing. It's the organs keep growing. And one day science will go back to the great wisdom of Yahweh, and they'll start teaching these things after 4/5 of them are wiped out, of course. I notice there's many new people here, and I know that that you're praise Yahweh. It's wonderful, and I know you've learned a lot, and I hope you'll be turning loose of Christianity and not carrying any deception with you. I was just thinking, we need the carpenters to build a sword with the handle sticking up in the cross, you know, and the handle up here. And then about halfway down, that would show you the cross, see, up here. Halfway down, we have a door that would open down here and show the rest of that sword. Because the deception that this world, they always carry, they always hide something from you. And, of course, they don't want you to see the blade on that sword and the sharp point of it. They just want you to see this cross on top and make out like that's something holy. It represents death, as everything that Satan does represents death. And if you praise Yahweh. Well, of course, Yahweh allowed this when Adam and Eve, when they turned away from Yahweh, well, he drove them out from eternal life and said, you've got now to get life, to get eternal life, you're going to have to submit and prove yourself. And in this time of trials, you're going to see what sin brings. That's the whole purpose of what we're seeing in the earth today. But the Christianity, of course, as the apostle said, the Cretans are always liars. They lie about everything. Cretans, that's where the word Christianity comes from, by the way, if you want to look it up. It means Christianity, and they started calling the disciples Christians as an insult. And the disciples fought back a little and said the Cretans were always liars. They never told the truth about anything. There was no truth in them. That's what Yahshua said about Satan. Look at their stupidity with the Easter eggs and the Santa Clauses and coming down the chimneys and bringing presents. It's all lies. It's all deception. And then the Pope holding up the crossbars and saying, this is the tree of life. It's the furthest thing from the tree of life. It's total death. Everything that the Cretans bring to you is total death. For those who want to believe that that Jesus did it for you, and the Pauline letters, they call it Pauline letters because they want to make out like he was a homosexual. And, of course, Pauline is a woman's name. And so they call it the Pauline letters. But the Apostle Shaul, who they call Paul, was very much a man, and he told them straight out that they were not going to be part of the kingdom of heaven. If you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians, I quoted that to you before, but I'd like for everyone to read it for themselves. There's no apostle that I know of that held up for sin or said that the Savior lived a righteous life so you wouldn't have to live it. So if you've come here with Christianity, either write this down and take it back and study it with you, but you need to set your mind on serving Yahweh and keeping His eternal, these are eternal appointments. And as Isaiah 66 says, from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh that is left alive is going to appear before Him throughout all eternity. That will never stop, praise Yahweh. Well, here now in 1 Corinthians 6, and start with verse 9. Now, this is the Apostle Shaul speaking, the one they call Paul, and this is a so-called Pauline letter. He said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom? The unrighteous. Well, of course, righteousness is keeping Yahweh's laws. This is our righteousness, Deuteronomy 6:25 says, if we do all of these laws. 1 John 3:4 says, sin is the breaking of the law. And then 1 John 3:7-8 said, don't let any man deceive you. He who practices righteousness, that's opposite of breaking the law, is righteous. But he who commits sin, breaking the law, belongs to Satan, the devil. Now, if you pass that up, you're just passing away salvation. You're throwing it away. You need to read it for yourself and stop believing the lies that Christianity and the Pope is teaching. The Pope has brought this. He came down from their fathers. Their fathers was the 12 tribes, the ones who turned against Samuel and brought this profaneness to all the world, including sodomy that the Vatican is filled with, as Malachi Martin said. Devil worshipers, who Malachi Martin said, were outnumbered the ones who didn't confess worshiping Satan, but they're all worshiping Satan. You're a servant to whom you obey. You worship whom you obey. Obeying and serving, that's worship. We worship the people of Yahweh. We worship Yahweh by worshiping, serving the people of Yahweh. That's Yahshua, the manner, the style that he set. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? The unrighteous, do you not? Who are they? Look for yourself. Do not be deceived. Don't deceive yourselves. Neither fornicators. You see that? He names it straight out. If you're a fornicator, if you don't repent and convert, you won't be a part of the kingdom of heaven. Nor God worshipers, those that follow these gassy gods that don't take form. They have nothing to stand on. There's no foundation to them. It's all a bunch of lies. Like Santa Claus coming down the chimney, like the rabbits laying eggs. It's all nothing but lies. Worshippers of Elohim, nor adulterers, nor men who commit sexual perversions with boys. That is the popes, the cardinals, the Vatican. That's where the lawsuits are galore right now against the Vatican for what they've been doing to the boys in the orphanage homes that they always run around ahead of people to get it full of boys so they can have something to play with and fulfill their life. They're evil, evil men. The whole mess is evil, evil lives. And that's what you're following when you say, well, Jesus did it for me. In first place, Jesus is not the name of the Savior. It's a false god that Constantine invented. Nor men who commit sexual perversion with other men. Is that plain enough? Surely that's plain enough. No, he was not a homosexual. He was very, very much against this stuff. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Sin will not be there. If you look over to Yochanan 8, here's what the Savior tells you to do. Yochanan 8, these words are not in vain that he is written here by the apostles. The apostles never stood up for sin. They condemned sin. They said in Acts 3:19, repent and be converted so your sins can be blotted out. Unless you're willing to repent and be converted and start keeping the law. See, that's conversion. Repent of sin, which is the breaking of laws. convert to keeping Yahweh's laws, practicing this righteousness. Missing the Sabbaths is sin. Not gathering yourselves together on the Sabbaths is sin. That's breaking the laws. Remember the Sabbath days to keep them holy, all of them. Here in Yochanan 8 and verse 11, look at the last five words of that sentence. That's what the Savior tells you to do. Now, you know what sin is. The last five words, that's the Savior's writings. Look over to verse 34 of that same one. Yeshua answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a servant." You worship sin. That word servant means worshiper. Worshiper, you're worshiping sin. We've had people come here and they're standing shocked. They've been gone for a long time and they come back and they say, "Man, are y'all worshiping Israel Hawkins?" And they say, "Yeah, you bet we are." Well, I can tell you for sure, Israel Hawkins is worshiping you. Anyone who serves Yahweh, I'll worship. I will serve. That's what worship means. It means service in both book one and book two. Sin no more. Sin no more, he said. Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. You won't be part of the kingdom. You're a servant of Satan. Look at verse 44. Still speaking on this same subject, you are of your teacher, who is Satan, the devil. And whatsoever she who is your teacher desires you will do, you will do. She was a murderer from the beginning. Think of how selfish murder is. There's no feeling at all if you murder a person. There's no feeling at all for that person at all. And this is what you see in war. Dropping a bomb on a community, do you think that is salvation some way? That's the cross. That's the cross handle of the sword that was shown to Constantine. By this you will conquer. It wasn't a righteousness that was these people were following. It was death and hell and fighting and hatred with a non-curing attitude. And they taught the Roman soldiers, show no mercy. Don't ever show mercy. That same thing was taught to the Japanese and the Chinese. Do you know now that they're finding traces of the 12 tribes and the Japanese and the Chinese? Wow, what a surprise. These wicked soldiers of the ancient China that built this great empire, it was actually the Hebrews of the 12 tribes that forsook, of course, the Hebrew language and changed their language to other languages. That's what the only thing that divided them. Get the truth. Stand on the truth. You can't go wrong with that. And you know what? It's all found in the book of Yahweh. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Think of it. The Japanese are Hebrews. The Chinese are Hebrews. The Americans are Hebrews. And just like Israel was when it was divided, they're all fighting one another. They just spread out through the world fighting one another. Getting rich, taking over, and now their wealth is diminishing. And what do they want to do? Well, hurt not the oil. That's our biggest money. Biggest money maker. Let's just depopulate. It's almost like there's no curing at all. Think about it. Depopulating, killing four-fifths of the earth's population. Is that love? Yeah, it's Christian love. It's as false as Christmas and Halloween and Easter. That's Christian love for you. The real thing is hidden. It's hatred, misery, and death. That's all. It has nothing to do with love. She was a murderer from the beginning and remained not in the truth because there is no truth in her. No truth in Christmas, Halloween, or Easter. Do you see any truth in it? You actually think rabbits lay eggs and color them before you get to them? Oh, yeah, she laid colored eggs. They got some half cats now. They're crossing rabbits with cats. What are they going to lay? Somebody surely found an answer there. Therefore, when you speak your falsehoods, you speak her words, because she is a liar. The Cretans are all liars. They tell you lies that you would think no one would ever believe, and the world falls for it. And Constantine started these big wars to get rid of Yahweh's people, get rid of the book of Yahweh. Well, he's never succeeded, but he kept trying till he died. Then he became the god that they worshiped. They're still worshiping him. And the teacher of all lies. Well, anyway, that's the words of Yahshua. Yahshua was very much a man too. Now go back to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians 6. And notice here, verse 9 again. He said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom? Well, we know from 1 Yochanan 3, verse 4 and through 7 through 8, that righteousness is the keeping of Yahweh's laws. They're the ones that inherit the kingdom. These are facts. These are facts. They're not lies like Christianity puts out. Do not deceive yourselves. Neither these people, none of these people are going to make it into the kingdom. You're going to have to turn from this. I saw fornication and adultery till it made me sick in the first parts of the house of Yahweh. We've gotten rid of it, you know, unless some newly Christians come in. We got rid of it. If you look over to chapter 5, what are you supposed to do? What does it say there in verse 8? What are you supposed to do? Do you read that for yourself? Chapter 5, verse 8. You're in 6 and verse 9. Look right to the left of that. On the same page. Chapter 5, verse 8. You see what it says to do? All you young priests see that? Can you see it? Shake your head if you see it. Now, this was the great apostle Shaul. You can't mistake his words. He's not saying keep Sunday, Easter, or Christmas. He's saying let us keep the feast of Passover, which we did, and we kept it without sin. Praise Yahweh. We kept it without sin. One of the greatest, most peaceful feasts I've ever experienced in my life. We just went through it. Now, yesterday I started out with speaking about the Lamb, Yahshua, because he set us a perfect example. That was Yahweh's Lamb that he brought through it forth in a great breeding program. And then Yochanan 1:29 says, "Behold the Lamb of Yahweh." That was Yochanan saying of Yahshua when he saw him walking across, "Behold the Lamb of Yahweh." Now, I believe it was the great Kohan de Pass that said, that brought out what the word behold means, and behold the branch. Those two mean the same thing. We've got to behold Yahshua and that service that goes with that word, that same meaning that goes with that word. It applies to us and, of course, serving Yahshua. And if you could see those pictures, you could see that Yahshua actually recognized us and showed himself and showed the high priest and the woman. That woman was us, brethren. That woman is us washing his feet. Yes, we serve him. We serve him when we serve each other. If you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. And he showed we were doing this to him. We did it to each other. We're serving each other, but we're doing this to him and to Yahweh. Now, Acts also says, as a lamb, he was led to the slaughter, and we saw how justice was taken away from him. Isaiah 59, let's go there, because we live in a world today. This thing the other day, when it showed this man that shot an unarmed teenager, and of course they were not going to arrest him, and then the people rose up, his mother being the leader, demanding justice. Well, their idea of justice is not really justice, it's revenge. The justice has been long gone from the world. They rejected the justice. Justice only comes from the laws of Yahweh, the 613 laws of Yahweh. That's where you find true justice. But no one asked for that anymore, and that's what Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, was saying here in Isaiah 59, verse 4. No one asks for justice. They seek revenge. And of course, Mitt Romney, I told you in his campaigns, they asked him, well, if the Strait of Hormuz was blocked by a ship, if Iran blocked this, would this be a reason for war? And he said, well, of course, or nuclear war. They said, nuclear war. Would this justify nuclear war? And he said, of course. We've got to prove to them we're stronger than they are. We've got to beat them down and prove we're stronger than they are, or we won't have peace. Well, that's what Satan gave to Constantine and said, this, conquer, then they will know you're stronger than they are. And you will have peace. Have they had any peace? Is that history written wrong or something? History says we've had nothing but wars. I don't see any peace today either. In fact, we're getting ready to go into the biggest amount of wars there are. But here we see this very thing in verse 4. No one calls for justice. They don't know what justice is. Justice would be doing away with the Nimrod system that teaches rulership, raising yourself above your fellow man and forcing him into what we see, the labors, the oppressions, the depressions. We see oppression right now when people have worked all their lives, and then it runs into a slump, their jobs are taken away, and they lose their homes, they lose their jobs. I know there's people sitting here in the audience right now, I know them personally, that this has occurred to them. They lost their jobs and their homes, even their automobiles, because they were all paying monthly payments on them. And of course, it was taken away. Well, this was the same oppression that the 12 tribes were suffering in Egypt. Same thing. It wasn't like you think of the South and the slave labor that was going on in the South, where they actually owned slaves and they whipped them into positions and beat them into humbling to their masters. That's not what it was at all. What you saw in Egypt, and if you'll read it carefully and study what they went through, it's much like the United States is today. They all had jobs. It was given to them, jobs. And if they were drawing too much wages, they simply took it away from them. Don't diminish the work, but this is what you're going to get from now on. But the people, they were free just like they are today. Free, free to do the work of the master. Actual fact, there were some of the slaves in the South that were treated with respect because the people were trying to follow the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures teaches a form of slavery where the person, and that's what I'm teaching you today, and if we become slaves, we will be the slaves of Yahweh and Yahshua, and we will be as the family. And that's what a slave became. He was one of the family and was treated as a family being. And when I see the children of Yahweh, when I saw the children singing, I said, look, there's my children. Serving Yahweh. Every now and then I say, how do you like my son so-and-so? What do you think of that? Praise Yahweh. Serving Yahweh. Well, you belong to whom you obey. Yahweh treats us as sons. And the slave, after 7 years, becomes his son, his sons and his daughters. And we're given a name equal to sons and daughters. Well, here you see the word justice, of course, and trust justice is taken away from the earth. Yahshua wants to put justice back. That's the plan of Yahweh to do so. Go to Matthew 23 and notice here Yahshua's words. Matthew 23 and notice verse 27. 23 verse 27. Yahshua gets pretty harsh with them here, but Yahshua loved them. He loved his enemies, and he did harm to no one. But in verse 27, he said, you lawyers, that's the word scribes, it means lawyers, and of course, they were suing people like they are today. Lawyers is the curse of the world. Right now, they put businesses out of business. They put people out of jobs because they sue people for, most of it is false, they make it up, but they sue people and take away their livelihood, take away their business, and those businesses take away jobs when they're lost. So they're a big curse in America today, but it's allowed and people know that it's evil and being used for evil purposes, but they are not doing anything about it at this time. They're fighting somewhat, and it will get stronger because the revolutions are coming, and our government knows it's coming. We see the revolutions rising up all over the world, fighting against this school of higher learning. But it was in practice then. It started with the Nimrod system. That was the Nimrod system, building a tower to control the people, so they would not leave them, so they could keep them under force, keep them abiding by their laws instead of Yahweh's laws. Well, in verse 27, he says, woe to you lawyers, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you're like whited sepulchers, and indeed appear beautiful outwardly. And they do, but inside they're like dead men's bones. In the same way, you appear outwardly, verse 28, you appear outwardly righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy, that is lies and falsehood and the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Now this is the same profanity that has come down to us today that was prophesied in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, the same, this is in Matthew 23. And in verse 15 of Jeremiah 23, he says that this profaneness has gone out to all the world. You brought it. You brought this profaneness to all the world, a prophecy that we see right now that was first prophesied in Genesis 49, showing you the last days and where it would come from. Well, Jeremiah summed it up in Jeremiah 23:15. showing it was the 12 tribes where it was coming from. Then 26 and verse 26 and 27 of that chapter shows they took the name of Yahweh out. They didn't want anything righteous to be spoken of. And Yahweh's name stood for his laws of righteousness. You build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the sepulchers of the righteous and say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, notice they're admitting that those were their fathers, we would not have had no part with them in the killing of the prophets. So they admit their fathers were the ones that murdered the prophets. You see that, boys? You see that? They admit that their fathers murdered the prophets. In saying that, Yeshua says, verse 31, in saying that, you witness against yourselves that you are the children of those who murdered the prophets. He says, make complete the measure of your fathers. Serpents, brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of Gehenna? That is the burning fire that destroys and you won't come back. How will you ever escape this? He's showing that some will not, that they left the faith, as Kepha said. They turned back to, like a dog to his own vomit, like a pig that was washed, wallowing in the mud. They turned from the laws of Yahweh and turned back to following the ways of Satan, worshiping Satan. How are you going to escape the sentence of Gehenna, he said. On this account, behold, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes, that is, scribes of Yahweh's laws. Some of them you will kill and impale. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, throughout the world. So, now notice this now, so that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the whole earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. You got that? Goes clear back to Abel. To the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barakiah, whom you murdered between the porch and the altar. So on them, it comes all the way down to what we're going to be going through with 4/5 of the earth's population wiped out. There's the justice that needs that the world, this is the face of Satan. The justice, that kind of justice, is what must be done away with. And that's what Yeshua, that's what you're going to be doing in the future, brother. Power. You're going to have power, much power. Now, in 712 BCE, Isaiah 53:7-8, we see the Lamb spoken of here that would take away the sins of the earth. Take away, do away with it. He wasn't talking about paying the price for you. He's talking about doing away with sin, period. He's talking about teaching and training you to get rid of sin, not only in yourselves, but throughout the universe. That's the reason you're hated by Satan and the heavenly beings that don't want to follow the leadership of Yahweh, who teaches the perfect sinless life. If you look to Yochanan 5 now, Yochanan 5, I know my time is up, but they told me earlier, the cooks did, you can go a little over. And I said, I'm going to take you up on that, I think. Well, in Yochanan 5 now, in verse 26, this is Yeshua who lived the sinless life. He's looking for others who will live a sinless life, who will repent of sin, never to return again to those sins. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's building. Now in verse 26, he says, this is Yochanan 5, verse 26. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. Now he's the first, get this now, understand, he's the firstborn of many brethren. He's the first to receive this authority from the kingdom of Yahweh. From Yahweh, he's the firstborn. All the sons of Yahweh is going to have what he shown here to get. That's what you're training for. Great authority. Great power. Power to move mountains. They're talking about, and you better be aware of this, if I can find the article quickly, they're talking about, this almost sounds like the earth is trying to vomit you out, but they have a tremendous storm brewing, and it's reaching all the way across Texas, all the way up to Nebraska, I believe, or Minnesota. Most dangerous weather expected to develop during the afternoon. Speaking of today, it says the worst conditions were predicted for late Saturday afternoon between Oklahoma City and Salina, Kansas, but other areas also could see severe storms with baseball-size hail and winds of up to 70 miles an hour, forecasters said. The warning issued Friday covers parts of Illinois, Ohio, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas. This is a life-threatening situation. They're really alarmed about this storm. The strongly worded message came after the National Weather Service announced last month that it would start using terms like mass destruction because of the weather they see coming for this year, this summer. Unsurvivable, it says. Unsurvivable. Catastrophic. In the warnings, in an effort to get more people to take heed. Now here's the storm that if you can see it, they got it outlined here, reaching all the way across Texas and up almost to Canada. Now that is going on right now and supposed to get the worst this afternoon. 4 feet of hail fell in 2 hours near Amarillo. If you can imagine, 4 foot deep, 4 feet of hail came in 2 hours. I saw the pictures. It's like one iceberg after that fell. Of course, these are all the justice that we see in the earth today, but we've screwed up the firmament to where it's confused. And what we're calling gas is crossed with STDs, especially AIDS. And the scientists know this. In fact, they've found this already in the firmament and found it rather up high, they said, in the firmament, which they call atmosphere. It says yesterday, get this now, FDA issues new blood clot warning for birth control pills. Yesterday, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, announced that after a review of recent observational studies, they have concluded that birth control pills may pose a risk of blood clots to women. The FDA will add this study information to the labels of these. They're not going to stop selling them. They're just going to add it to the label of birth control medicines. Blood clots are essentially to keep alive when they stop bleeding. However, if one suddenly forms and travels to the brain, the heart, or the lungs, it can be fatal. Heart attacks, strokes, are just two serious medical problems that can occur due to a blood clot. I want you to listen to this one now. Fox News points out that scrutiny of safety of these medications has since continued. On December the 8th, 2011, the FDA Joint Advisory Committee met to decide whether the benefits of LAZ and LASMIN outweighed the risk. It was determined that the benefits were greater. Now they point this out next, and this is your justice in the world today. One critic of the outcome of that meeting is the Project on Governmental Oversight, POGO. They're the ones that's fighting it, a federal government watchdog group. According to POGO, that December vote is not valid because a serious conflict of interest existed among four members of the panel who had ties to either the contraceptive maker or the maker of the generic version. So continue to sell it. We think it'll be all right, since we're going to lose a lot of money if you don't. That's what it said. Well, that's the justice that we and Yeshua are going to get out of this of the world. And in verse 27, he said, and has given him authority. Now, in verse 26, it says, for just as Yahweh has life within himself, so he has given to the Son of Man, to have life in himself, because he is the Son of Man. That's the promise. That's the prophecy in Genesis 1:26. I'll make man in my image and my likeness, and I'll give him this authority. Well, here it is. All judgment in heaven and in earth has been given to the Son of Man. Judgment, justice. We are going to bring forth judgment and justice, and we will have the power to do so. And has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. That's the promise to the Son of Man. Now, look back to verse 21. For as the Father raises up the dead, you see that? As the Father raises up the dead and gives him life, so also the Son offers life to those whom Yahweh wills. For the Father does not judge any man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. If you want to know the judgment of the Son, he gives it. You either turn to Yahweh in repentance and conversion, or you won't make it into Yahweh's kingdom. And that's what all of his apostles said. But Yeshua now is given power over life and death, or to raise the dead. Look at verse 23. So that all men may honor the Son, that is, the Son of Man, may honor the Son of Man. That's the whole universe. Yahweh said in Deuteronomy, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness what I'm doing. I'm building a righteous kingdom, and no one is going to make it into that kingdom unless they turn to Yahweh doing his laws. He says, I give you this and want you to take witness of this. This is the way it's going to be. He's never changed it. It won't change. Yahweh won't allow any bit of leavening left in you. He's going to get it all out of you. That's the only way, brethren, that you're going to be honored among the heavenly beings. If they see sin in you, they would object to following you. You wouldn't be like Yahweh. They will submit if they see true justice. And this is Yahweh's plan to bring forth this true justice, the true justice that is found in His laws. When this woman was brought to Yahshua, and he bent down and wrote on the ground, and then he stood up and said, "Yes, but let he who is without sin put this person to death." Well, he has that justice. He has that judgment given to him because he proved he was like Yahweh and he is fit to handle that. Praise Yahweh. He's the Son of Man. Now this he's going to give to many. He's the firstborn into this, to inherit this. This the firstborn of many, so that all men may honor the man, the son, just as they honor the father. He who does not honor the son does not honor the father who has sent him. Truly I say unto you, he who hears my words, believing Yahweh who sent me, has everlasting life and will not come under condemnations. That is, believe into, practice it, but has passed from death to life. Truly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh or sons of Yahweh, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life within himself, he has given it to the Son of Man, and has given him authority, verse 27. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, that is, the voice of the Son of Man, and will come forth. Those who have practiced righteousness, please get that. Those who have practiced righteousness will be resurrected in order to live. Have eternal life. Those who have practiced wickedness will be resurrected in order to be damned. I can of my own self put will in the place of can. I will of my own self do nothing as I hear from the Father. You ought to put that in your own brain. I will of my own self do nothing, just as I'm going to do the Father's will. Just as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. If I alone testify on my own behalf, it's worthless. We got to go just a little bit further here. If you'll turn over to Kepha, speaking of authority and judgment. First Kepha, speaking of authority and judgment. Now this is a subject we're on. This is an inheritance for those who will not do their own will, who will practice what Yahshua practiced, what that woman, yes, we can turn from sin, deep, dark sin. Yahweh proved that. We got the deepest, darkest sins, yes, and we got the greatest pull from Satan, and we've got to prove that we will stand up no matter what to Yahweh, even with all of Satan's pulls today, with all of her pulls and all of her fears. Now look at 1 Kepha 3, and notice here verse 21, 1 Kepha 3, 21. He says, the same figure, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves us, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to Yahweh for a clear conscience and of the resurrection of Yahshua Messiah, who has gone into the heavens and is at the right hand of the Father, Malachim, authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Now that's you, if you'll put yourself in that place right there. That's what he's trying to pull you to at this time. Now keep that in mind and go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 1. I want all you young priests to remember what I said in the night, first night of sprinkling now, when I talked to you. And I said, if Yahshua appeared unto you right now, he'd scare you to death. You've got to be prepared for it. But your bodies have to be prepared for it too. You remember me telling you that?
Yes.
Okay, now look at verse 19, Kepha, Ephesians. Ephesians 1, found on page 916. Ephesians 1, and notice verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Well, we just saw a little of it. All judgment in heaven and earth. He also has the power to enforce it because he'll have the power to take life away. You will too. You will have the power and you will make righteous judgments to do so. That was the kingdom of heaven that was set up and given to Moshe, and you need to start remembering all of those judgments because that is the judgments. The judgments given to Moshe was the pattern of the kingdom of heaven. They're all going to be set according to that throughout all eternity. That is the kingdom that will rule the universe. Rule, not forcibly rule, but teaching, guiding, and loving kindness as Yahshua did. And yes, if an unruly son or daughter will not, and she wants to go the way of Satan, she will, and she will die. But they will not be allowed to reign in the new world. Now, this is what Satan is rejecting right now. And she's got the universe to doing the same thing. And she's saying, mankind cannot inherit this. They're going to mess up our whole kingdom. This is her speech to the universe, or was, until she was cast down. There was no place found for her. They're beginning to see in the universe as they're beginning to see in the United States. Why do you think these revolutions are starting right now? They see the unjustness. They see it and they're rising up against it. And many are. There's many. And the government is fearing now because they say they have outside ties, which means that they're combining their strength and they can do it in today's world. Don't be a part of it. Don't be a part of that, because all it is just a repeat of what we see that brought this in the first place. If they'd come to the house of Yahweh and start learning the ways of peace, they would be able eventually to turn this thing around and stop it. But only Yahweh has that power, brother. And he has the plan. And as he told Eob, can you put a hook in Satan's mouth and turn her by force? No, you can't. You can't turn this system. It's only going to be brought about and accomplished by love, just like Yahshua showed you and the woman showed you. Well, here he's asking you, and he wants you to see something here. And he says, notice it carefully now, everybody. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power within us? Within us. And you're going to have the same power is what he's saying here. Who believe, those who believe all that the prophets have spoken, not a stupid, empty belief like Christianity has. It's nothing but lies, like Santa coming down the Christmas tree. You got to believe that now or you won't get a toy tonight. You got to believe that the bunny lays eggs or you won't get any eggs tomorrow. You won't get any of these candy eggs tomorrow. You got to believe in Halloween or I'm not going to take you trick-or-treating. You know what that word trick or treat means? Either you give me something or I'm going to treat you with a trick. That's what it means. The same force that comes from this Nimrod system. Well, here he's saying, talking about the power you're going to receive, the authority. I will make mankind in my image and my likeness, and I'm going to give him great power and authority. According to the energy. Now, this word I want you to work on. And I'm not going to say much more about it. I'm going to leave it with you like I left the word Nora with you. You won't find it in the concordance. Do you know that? You won't find it there, but you are going to find it. You're going to start studying. You're going to find it. Okay. Praise Yahweh. Priestess too. I want y'all to find it too. You might show it to your mother later. Energy. Energy. Well, of course, it's not that way in the King James Version, but and that's the reason you won't find it in the Concordance. But you can find it if you'll just really give it some thought, and this will also build up your skills in research and proving. Because Satan is the one, you know, that screwed this up to where no one could understand it. Yahweh allowed it. And then he sent different people to explain what Satan had done and to get it straightened out so certain people at certain times could be drawn out of the world, and he could prove at each generation he wanted to that he could pull people out of sin. The last ones that did it was that woman that Yahshua, under the leadership of Yahshua and his 12 disciples. And now the next seventh work is us that he's pulling out of the deep dark sin to give them this exceeding great greatness, exceeding greatness of his power, exceeding greatness of his mighty power. Now get the next verse there. Watch closely now. Which he exerted in the Messiah when he raised him from the dead. Do you see that? This is a power, brethren. If you could see those two beings right now, you would die. That's the reason that he said to Moshe, "No man can see me and live." If you could see this and imagine you being up in the firmament a ways, and you had all of this firmament obeying your voice, and they were waiting for instruction. Imagine a tornado. Imagine a hurricane. In every drop of salt water, there's enough energy to build a full-fledged hurricane that could wipe out cities. Every drop, just one drop of salt water. Well, where do you think that's coming from? Salt water? Pounce it on your hand. It does nothing. If you had control of it and you could see these microorganisms. Now, they describe air as gas and always expanding. Now, imagine this drop of salt water. You could see, you could put 10 billion of these organs, if you want to call them that, on a point of a needle. Did you get that? You could put 10 billion of them on a point of a needle. Now, in one drop of salt water, how many billion would you have? Now, they say the gas is always expanding. You know why it's expanding? It's growing. It's alive. They're multiplying. So from that you're going to have the power over, this is the power that you're going to be given. This was some of the power that was exerted on the Sabbath day, by the way, by Yahweh. Yes, this was done on the Sabbath day. I'll guarantee you, Yahweh is not laying down on his can saying, "Bring me some food to eat, woman." This energy that he exerted here was done on the Sabbath. Remember? Everybody remember that? On the Sabbath, in the end of the Sabbath, the women went there and he was already gone. That energy had already been exerted. And this is what the apostle here was talking about, that raised this dead body, that put the organs back at work in this body. Organs that had already got ready to separate. and go back to dust, as they called it. That's the word for it, given in the King James Version. These were microorganisms. Your body is made up of these microorganisms. That's the reason you have energy to burn. Yes, energy to burn. And if you could get all of the energy out of one drop of salt water, that you, if you could imagine how much you put in your stomach in one meal, and the organs having to put up with that and having to break it down and keep it from exploding. And people do this of a night, you know. They eat these big meals, and then their bodies have to fight all night to fight the food off to keep your body from exploding, yes. And they have to find a way to get rid of it, which Yahweh created that in the organs, yes. These tiny microorganisms that are in your body by the trillions, more than trillions, that keep your body moving your hand. Think it, keep your brain working where you move your hand back and forth, make any movement, think, reason here, all of these things. It's made up by trillions of small microorganisms doing their job. Now, think of the hurricane that is controlled by Yahweh's hand. The scripture says that. Think of the wind that Yahshua commanded, and they said even the wind obeys him. The wind is alive. And one day you will have that power that was given to Yahshua. Now he sets as judgment right now in judgment. All judgment is given to him, and it's a just judgment that is given to him. The world is not asking for that at this time. The universe is not asking for it. But more and more of them are wanting it now. And the apostles spoke of that and said they're earnestly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. That's you. That's you. That's the remnant. The last will be first to receive this from Yahshua. He's your high priest. He's trying to guide you to that point, and he's letting you know you're on the right track. You're washing his feet. You're working with Yahshua. What a beautiful picture he painted this feast, starting before the feast in the clouds, and each one leading up to a different thing that he was showing us over the house of Yahweh. This being and Yahweh are so tickled right now. They are so earnestly waiting, you know, for this to all be fulfilled and you join them in Yahweh Shammai. May Yahweh bless you, brother, and I love you. I love you, brothers and sisters.